Daf is Daf Nun Aleph. So we got to the last two lines of Nun Amud Beis. We've been talking about different minhagim. So the Gemara says, "Bnei Chuzai, the people of this city, nagu de mafreshe chala me arosa. They would actually be mafresh chala from rice. So they'd make rice. I don't know, rice cake, rice chala, and they'd be mafresh chala, which is not correct. They only do hafreshes chala from the five grains, but not from rice." So they made a mistake. So also Amru Leil Rav Yosef, they told Rav Yosef about this minug, and Amru Nichlei Zar Bapayu. What they should do is have a non kohen, a zar, eat the challah to show them that what they're doing is incorrect. We know when we have a fresh challah, we burn the challah. No one's allowed to eat it, not even a kohen, because we don't know everyone's status of his yichus and the kohen's tame. But here, just to show that the hafresh challah is incorrect, they said have a zar eat in front of him. So that was the suggestion. So the Gemara says the problem with this is we have a klal. The Gemara asks, "Esi ve'abaye, dvarim hamutarim, things that are mutter, v'achayim nagu behen isser. People yet are machmir to hold that item, that din is usser. I'ata rasha lahatirin b'fneim. You cannot do something, show it's mutter in front of them. So these people, when it comes to rice is really mutter, but they were nohegen isser v'afresh challah. So you can't." You can't permit it in front of them. So how would Rav Yosef be able to do this? So Amar Lei, V'lav mi'itmar la, does it not say on this din that Amar Rav Chista b'kusai, when it comes to a kusi, that's the case we say that when it comes to in front of a kusi, don't be matter something that they think it's aser. Because since the kusim don't know what's right, what's wrong, if you're matter this, they're going to matter everything else as well. That's only the gabi kusi. So Gemara says, "Kusi my time, mishum de misarche milsa." They're going to follow after what you say. That since they're not learned, they're going to be mezalzel in this thing, they're going to be mezalzel in another thing. Hanich inchi nami sarche milsa. These people are also no different than kusim because obviously they don't know halacha well. They're amhe arid that they're taking hafreshes challah from rice. So too, if you're matir in front of them, so they're going to stop bringing mezalzel and other halachas as well. So how was Rav Yosef able to permit having a zar eat the challah in front of them? So Gemara says, "Ella Amar Rav Ashi Chazinan I Ruben Orez Achli Lo Nichli Nizar Bapayu." So if most of the grain that they use in their area is rice, so then we should not have a zar eat in front of them. Why? Because Dilma Mishtakcha Toras Chala Minayo. Because let's say all they have, they live in China, and all they have is rice there. There's no wheat and barley there, so their bread is all made from rice. Now, if they don't do hafreshes challah, imagine centuries go on. They never did hafreshes challah because they don't have wheat in the area. They're going to forget this whole concept of challah. So, if most of that which they eat is rice, let them continue to be mafresh challah so they know there's a concept of challah in the world, even though what they're doing is incorrect. But e Reuben Dagan, if most of what they eat are from the five grains, achli, so nichle zar bapayo, then they should have a zar eat the rice in their presence. Because they would have a fresh challah even without the rice. They have plenty of wheat and barley to be mafresh challah. So why should you have a zar eat the rice in front of them? Because dilma asi lafrushe min achiv ala ptur and min ptur ala achiv. What might happen is you might start mixing together wheat and rice, and I have a little bit of wheat and add some rice, and now I've got a full size of fresh challah. What's needed for a fresh challah? I've got 5 pounds of flour. But the truth is, it's not really chayv challah because rice doesn't come into the calculation. So in order to know that wheat is chayv and rice isn't chayv, make sure a zar eats in front of them to teach them that a zar, that rice is pater from a fresh challah and won't get any form of confusion. That was the recommendation. So interesting, a few interesting things come out of this discussion. There is a big discussion posted many places in Shas. We talked about whether or not you say a bracha on a minag or you don't say a bracha on a minag. So the Chassam Tovar proves from here that you do say a bracha on a minag. Why? The minag that they had was the mafresh challah on rice. Now, if they didn't say a bracha on that minag, then there's obviously a difference between hafresh challah on rice without a bracha versus hafresh challah on the five grains. So it must be, Chassam Tovar says, they were mafresh challah on rice even though that was a minag. We see that one does say a bracha on a minag. He goes out, he pulls back, he doesn't like that raya so much. But anyway, this is part of a larger discussion where this has come up. When it comes to this Wednesday's Rosh Chodesh, we say a bracha on Rosh Chodesh. Saying hala on Rosh Chodesh is only a minag. So the Ashkenazim say a bracha. The Sfardim don't say a bracha on hala on Rosh Chodesh because that's only a minag. So this does come up in many different areas. Now, Chassam Tovar asks another question. He says, okay, fine. So rice, they're not mafresh challah on rice. But one time a year, they're going to be mafresh challah. When's the one time a year? You certainly can't have rice for matzah, so they're going to make sure to have wheat when they're mafresh, when they're going to have matzah lel seder. So we learned the other day that they make sure to have a lot of wheat together, a big dough of flour to make matzah, and then you would be mafresh challah there. So once a year they'd be able to mafresh challah, at least when it came to matzah, so this wouldn't really undo the whole concept. Remember, the Gemara says, why did you say let them be mafresh challah and rice? Because that's all they had was rice. But they certainly won't use rice or matzah. It doesn't work. They know that at least. So why not once a year? So Chassam Tov ends up saying, I would have thought once a year might not be enough of a reason to remind the person of the concept of challah. Chassam Tov said that, remember we had the other day, just reminding this from a few days ago, that when they did make challah for matzah, they made very small doughs of matzah in order that it shouldn't turn to chametz. But in the end of the day, they knew to put it all in a basket to put them together to be chayv and challah. So Chassam Tov said, Mistama, if they didn't know that rice, the din of rice, by havash challah, they also didn't know the din of being mitzarif, all the different matzahs together in the basket, so they probably didn't even do it once a year, even though they were using wheat for matzah leil seder. Okay. Gemara now says, Vayter, around 10 lines down, nun aleph amun aleph. The Gemara says, Gufa. We just introduced the concept of varim, hamutarim, vacherim, nagu ben iser, things that are mutter, yet others have a practice to be machmir and say, aser, iata rashai latir and bifneim. You can't be matir in their presence. So Amar Rav Chista, b'kusay eskinan, and we're talking about a kusi. A kusi doesn't know anything, so if you're mezalzel in one halacha, maybe there'll be mezalzel in other halachas as well. V'chul yamalo, no one else has this din, meaning everybody else, if they're machmir in something, we can be make in front of them. We're going to see a few different cases where there's a certain city that was very machmir, and we were not allowed to be matir in their presence, even though they were not kusim. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanya, rochsin shnei achin ke'echad." Two brothers allowed to, take a bath or go into the bathhouse at the same time. Vein rochsin shnei achin be'kavul. But in the city of Kavul, two brothers cannot be in the mikveh together and the beis hamirchatz together. That wasn't allowed. U'mayse b'Yehuda, one time in Yehuda, v'Hillel, Yehuda v'Hillel, banim shel Rabbi Gamliel, his two sons, shirochsu shneim ke'echad be'kavul. They went to the mikveh together. They started speaking bad and inappropriate things about the two sons of Hillel. So Amru, they said, Miyamenu, they said, Lo Reinu Kach, we never saw two brothers go into the mikveh at the same time. What's going on here? So then they slipped out. Hillel, one of the sons, he slipped out to the outer area and made sure not to be in the mikveh at the same time as his brother. So they didn't want to tell the people that they made a mistake. Meaning the halacha is, of course, two brothers could be in the mikveh at the same time. There's no issue. But they didn't want to tell them that they were wrong, and they were make sure not to be matir, didn't that they're machmir on, and they just avoided the whole issue. A similar case. Yotzin b'kordei kison b'Shabbos, some type of large shoe. You're allowed to wear the shoe on Shabbos, b'biri. Yotzin b'kordei b'Shabbos, v'ein yotzin b'kordei kison b'Shabbos, b'biri. But in the city of Biri, you can't wear these types of shoes. It's concerned of it falling off, and you're carrying it in Rosh Hashanah. U'maisa b'Yehuda v'Hillel b'anav shu Rabbi Gamliel. Again, the two sons of Rabbi Gamliel. They walked with these types of shoes on Shabbos in the city of Biri. They started saying, there'd be Michal Shabbos. They said, never did we see anybody wear these shoes on Shabbos. So they took them off and gave them to their servants. They didn't want to say, it's a mutter really to wear these shoes, but rather they let them have their chumras. And the third case we have in the Braisa, a person is allowed to sit on these benches on Shabbos. We'll see the concern of benches on Shabbos in a second. But in Ba'ako, they had the chumer not to sit on such benches, such chairs, or couches on Shabbos. And he once visited the city of Akko. He sat on these benches, and it was Shabbos. They started speaking that he was Mechal Shabbos. And Amru Miyamenu Larinu Kach, never did we see anybody sit on these benches on Shabbos. Nishmat Agavi Akarka. So he slid off the bench and sat on the ground. He didn't want to tell them that it was mutter. So Bnei Medina Tayam Nami. So Kevin de Loshchichi Rabbanan Gabayu Kukusim Dami. What he answered was that since the people were Amiharit, they didn't know anything, rabbis didn't live in the cities of Akko and Biri. And it was as if they were kusim dami, and for that reason they were not allowed to tell them that which their machmir and usher is really mutter. But those are exceptions. It's lav dafka kusi. It's anybody who's similar to a kusi, whereby they are ignorant about the various halachas of the these minhagim. So Gemara now wants to know these three areas. We just discussed the two brothers in a Beis HaMerechatz. We discussed particular shoes, and we discussed sitting on the Safsali Nachum and Shabbos. So what are the actual concerns that the Gemara talks about? So Gemara says, Bishma, I understand the case of Safsali Nachum Mishum Demechse Kemeko Chomemkar. The reason why they had the practice in Akko not to sit on these benches, because that's where the Nachum would sit and sell and buy things. It would look like they're doing Mekach HaMemkar and Shabbos. So that was a understandable concern. And Bekudukuso Nami, that as well, these types of shoes, we also know why there was such a Chumrah. Dilma, Mishalfin, Vasu, Lesavinu, Arba Amos, Bershus, Rabim. It might slip off the foot, and you might end up carrying it, Dalt Amos, Bershus, Rabim. So that too, it makes sense where they're coming from, why such a Chumrah existed in the city of Biri. Elarochs, in my time alone. What was the reason why two brothers cannot walk into the mikvah, the Beis HaMerechatz, at the same time? So Gemara explains, Kidatanya, Im kol adam rochet, a person is allowed to be in the Beis HaMerechatz with any person, chutz mi aviv v'chamiv, except for his father and his father-in-law, ubal imo, his stepfather, his mother's husband, ubal achoso, his sister's husband, his brother-in-law, Behuda matir ba'avim mipnei kvod aviv, Behuda permitted one to be the father in the Beis HaMerechatz at the same time, mipnei kvod aviv, because the honor of his father, which meant that if his father needed some help, some assistance in the Beis HaMerechatz, if he's an elderly man, you're there to help him out. But who had din lebal imo, so to a person's stepfather as well, if he needs help, that's allowed. So these areas, v'asu inu v'gazer b'shnei achin b'shim balachos, so they ended up adding on to a list of who else is it also to be in the Beis HaMerechatz with. Also two brothers, as an extension of two brother-in-laws can't be in the same time, two brothers as well can't be. And the Gemara then says that, so that was the Isser. What was the concern? So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, "May aviv v'chamiv." Halfway down Rashi is, what's the reason why one can't be in that bathhouse with a father and a father-in-law? Mitoch shiro ehu v'nitzkar shemisham yatza. Nosin libo lihira leads to bad thoughts. V'chein b'chamav nosin libo shiyatza isha mikan. V'chein b'balachos nam ika hihura. It just causes a person to have these bad thoughts, and that's why different individuals, family members, one should not be in the Beis HaMerechatz at the same time. So the Gemara then concludes this particular topic. Tana, Talmud, lo yirchatzim rabo. So too, a student should not be in the same Beis HaMerechatz, same mikvah as his Rebbe. However, im rabo tzarech lo mutter. If his Rebbe needs his help, then he would actually be allowed to do so. So the question becomes a couple of things. Number one is, the Chikrei Lev, one of the poskim, points out something very interesting here. Rabbi Yehuda said he was matir by a father, he was matir by a bal imo, by the stepfather. What he left off the list was, why wasn't he matir by a chama, by his father-in-law as well? Why is that not part of the list here? So he tries to prove from here that we see there is no obligation, at least on the same level, to honor one's father-in-law. So now that's a big machlokas in the posting, whether that's sure or not, based on a number of some, the Medrash in Tilmet says, David HaMelech called his father-in-law, who was Shaul, he called him Avi, my father. And we know Moshe Benu showed incredible respect to his father-in-law Yisro. He bowed down, he kissed him. So everybody in the end of the day agrees that there is a mitzvah to mechaber the father-in-law. The question whether it's a deraisa, whether it's a derabanan. There's a letter the Gra wrote actually to his I don't know who he's writing to, but he said he told his wife that his wife should be mechaber her mother-in-law. It's a kimo shekasa b'tora. That's what he wrote. Kimo shekasa b'tora. So some say, you see from here, that the Gruff felt there's a din deraisa, that you have to show honor to your in-laws. Rav Yashiv says it didn't say that it's said in the Torah, it's kimo, as if it were written in the Torah, so unclear how to interpret the letter written by the Gruff, machlokas, whether it's a deraisa or a derabanan. Furthermore, they also debate what extent does one have to show honor to their in-laws. So some say, the mamish, the same exact way you show honor to your father is how you should show honor to your father-in-law. While others say, no, you treat your father like any elderly man. You stand up for them, show general respect, but you don't have to do all the, to the great extent that one has to show their own father. So that's an interesting discussion. But either way, this Gemara, the fact that he does not add chamav on the list might indicate that it's not the same level as honor that one has to show the father. Now, one of the questions that Rishon asks here is, why in the world was Yehuda and Hillel, the children, Rabbi Gamliel, why were they not machmir on the seminag? Right? Why do they blatantly violate the minug of taking a bath together and wearing the shoes on Shabbos? We know wherever a person goes, he has to take the chumras of where he comes from and the chumras where he goes. So why did they not keep the chumra? Why did they go to the Beis HaMerechatz at the same time? So the Ramban says it's only true you have to take on a minug if the minug makes sense, if it's not batalos. But this was clearly a minug batalos, and that's why they didn't have to take on this minug. Now the Rashba actually felt that this was a very chashim minug. He argued. This was a chashim minug. It wasn't a minug batalos. But the reason why they didn't take the minhag on their own when they were visiting the cities of Akko and Biri is because it's only true if you plan to stay in that makom if you take on the minhagim of that particular makom. If you plan to go back to your initial house, then you don't have to take on the chumras. And we'll see that actually later on in the Gemara. Okay, back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says we are three narrow lines up on Nun Alf and Alf. The Gemara says, Ki Osir Rabba Bar Barchana Achal Daisira. He was coming, he was eating Daisira, which is a part of the chaylev. Look at Rashi, type of fat. Chaylev is asr, to eat is a chiv kares, but only certain types of chaylev of the animal. So Rashi says, Achal Daisara, or it's like Lashon of a Yeser, Chaylev Shebekfifas Akebas, fat which is in the area of the keva, of the stomach, Shekeva. Kfufa vasu kekeshes, it's bent like a bow. And also chaylev shebemakom heter ochem ben eretz Yisrael ubnei bavel nogin bo iser. So really, this is mutter, this area, this chaylev. But in the people of bavel were machmir not to eat this chaylev. So either way, so Rabba Bar Barchana achol daisira. He was eating this chaylev. O lagave Rabbi Avira Saba came in Rabbi Avira and Rabba Bar Rav Huna and came in the chazina. Once he saw them eating this, he saw. Rabbi eating this, kasim minay. He kind of covered up so they couldn't catch him eating this chaylev. V'asa amr le abayi. They told the abayi that he was eating the chaylev that we're knowing to be asr. Amr lehu, he says, shavinecha kikusayu. He thinks we're a kusim. The fact that he was hiding these things from us, he thinks that we're a kusi. Right? Rashi says here, shavinecha kikusayu. Da'amin aleya, we learned earlier, dvarm hamutarn v'achayim naguban iser, that which is mutar, but the b'nei bavel were machmir, that's asr. You can't say mutter in front of them. So why was he uncomfortable eating the chaylev in front of them? Because he says, oh, you guys must be kusim, because I can't be mutter that which is in front of you. Right. The normal din is that if something is a mutter, and they're machmir aser, you can't do it in front of them, derech mutter, derech heter, if they are kusim. If they're not kusim, meaning they'll learn what the halacha is really true, you can eat in front of them, you can be matir. So from the fact that Rabbah tried hiding the chaylev from them and clearly indicated he thought that these two great gedolim, Rabbah Vira Saba and Rabbah Rav Huna, had the din of kusim. So the Gemara says, Rabbah Bar Rav Chana les leha, how could Rabbah Bar Chana eat the chaylev anyways? Forget how he categorized these great gedolim. How is he allowed to eat the chaylev? Don't we have a din from our Mishnah here in Maseches Pesachim in the fourth parak? It's not. No sin alav chomri amakom shiatsu misham, the chomri amakom shalach l'sham. That you have to take the chomers from where you come and the chomers where you go. He was visiting Bavel. In Bavel, he came from Eretz Yisrael. He was visiting Bavel. Bavel, they're knowing not to eat the chaylev. So if he's in Bavel, how is he allowed to eat the chaylev? Isn't it usher to the place where you go? So Amar Bai said, Hani mi leib bin Bavel abavel, Eretz Yisrael. This is only true if you're traveling to two cities within Bavel. Two cities within Eretz Yisrael, you have to take on the chumras from where you come and from where you go. And inami mi bavel Eretz Yisrael, or from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you have to take on the chumras from Bavel and also the chumras of Eretz Yisrael where you're in. But the one exception where you don't have to take on the chumras is aval me Eretz Yisrael le Bavel lo. When you come from Eretz Yisrael and you go to Bavel, you do not have to take on the minhagim of Bavel. Why? Kaven de anan kaifinan lehu avdino kivasayu. Since Bavel is a kafuf to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is superior to Bavel. You don't have to take on those chumras. Rashi explained, "Aval me'Eretz Yisrael leBavel, im yishna yishanis haminag beBavel ein kan machlokas." If a ben Eretz Yisrael goes to Bavel and he doesn't keep the practice of Bavel while being there, it's not a big deal. Why? Danan kaifinin lebnei Eretz Yisrael. We are kafuf to Eretz Yisrael. The inu smichi in Eretz Yisrael, they have smicha there. UBavel lo samchi, and therefore, since he was a ben Eretz Yisrael. Rabba Bar Barachana, and he went to Bavel, he did not have to take on these minhagim. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu Tema, even if you want to say Meret Yisrael le Bavel, Hani Mi Lehecha De'ein Daito Lachser. The truth is, even if a person goes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he actually does have to take on the chumras of Bavel, but that's only true if you don't plan to return back. Right? If you go to community and you decide to stay there forever as your new house, that becomes your makom, that becomes your community, you need to take on those rules. But if the das was just to visit, and to go back a week or two later to Eretz Yisrael, then one would not have to take on the chumras even of Bavel. The Gemara says, "In Rabba Bar Barchana Daito Lachzer Hava." His das was to return back, and therefore he was not bound by the minhagim of Bavel. So Amrli Rabba Bar Barchana Lebrei, that Rabba Barchana told his son, "Bini, my dear son, lo sochal lo bifanai lo shalei bifanai. Don't eat in front of me, or not even whether I'm here or not here, because ani I shirei isi as Rabbi Yochanan sheachal." So kedai Rabbi Yochanan l'smochel av. I saw Rabbi Yochanan he himself eat it, and therefore I can eat the chaylev b'fanav, shel b'fanav, in front of him, and also not in front of him. Ba'ata, you, my dear son, lo reisa, also you didn't see Rabbi Yochanan eat this chaylev, so lo sochel bein b'fanai, bein shel b'fanav. You should not eat, whether I'm here or not here. That was the din. So I saw my Rebbe eat it, so I have the heter to eat it wherever I want. You didn't see Rabbi Yochanan, even though you saw your father, but you didn't see Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot eat this chaylev no matter where you are. Whether I'm here or not here, you can never eat it. Not sure. But that was the minhag, either way. L'chor is from Eretz Yisrael, from Bavel, I guess. So the Gemara then says, "Pliki didei adidei." Now we see that he himself argues, Rabbi Bar Chana argued on this point, because he says that Dama Rabbi Bar Chana, in a different context now, we'll see that he the message he gave to his son was different. He says, "Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar." One time Rabbi Yochanan told me, "Pamachas nechnasti acher b'shem ben Rabbi Yosi, bein l'kuni l'gina." Ben Lakunya Lakina, once we walked into a field. Now, a completely different topic, but we'll see just in terms of the Chumrah and the Kula, how he told his son, so you're walking in the field. Vinatal Svichei Karav, he took the Svichei Karav. Svichei Karav, they call it the aftergrowth, or sometimes things grow in the ground that you didn't necessarily plant. Now, during Shemitah, there's certain dinim of Shemitah. So the din was, he took the Svichei Karav, the carob aftergrowth, V'achon, he ate it. V'nasanli, he ate it to me, gave it to me as well to eat. So Rashi points out the top line here. There's a big discussion we showed him, but since it's Shemitah and it's a complicated topic, I'm going to just move very just take Rashi's face value reading of the whole Gemara here. But Rashi says on the top here, Nun Alfam Nebez, V'natal Svichei Karav, B'Shvi'es La'achar Zman HaBir. Right, just we discussed this yesterday, that the Zman Bir means, so let's say you have, I gave the example of figs, so when it comes to Shemitah, no one owns the land. It's Hefker. Everybody can take the food, so you can go and take whatever you want. And you take all the figs, you collect them in your house, so you can eat them. But let's say the moment there are no more figs left in the field, so then just like there are no fields left, figs left in the field, you can't have any figs left in your house. You have to burn it. It's called beer shvias. It's same of any fruit, of dates and pomegranates. Well, there's a different time of the season where there's no pomegranates left anymore in the field. If you have any left in your house, you need to burn it. That's called beer shvias. And you'll see next year, it's a Shemitah year, there's going to be a calendar. They're going to tell you what time of year we assume that there's no more pomegranates, when there's no more figs left, and that's what's called the Zman Bir Shvia. So here we have that there's no longer any, it was Zman Bir of the Karav already came. The Karav tree already was the subject to Bir Shvia. And they found some like little aftergrowths of the Svichei Karav on the ground. So he was Noeg Lakula. Rabbi Yochanan himself took it and he gave it to me and we ate it. That was even though most people were Machmir, he said you're able to be Makel. We'll see why in just a second. Vamerli, Bini, so he says to me, Befanai Achel, Shel Befanai Lo Sochal. So in front of me you could eat, but when I'm not here, you can't eat. Ani shari isi es Rabbi Shimon Yochai she'achal kedai hu Rabbi Shimon Yochai lesmochalav b'fanav shel b'fanav. I who saw Rabbi Shimon himself eat this, I could eat this whether he's present or whether he's not present. Ataba you b'fanai achal shel b'fanai lo sochal. In my presence you could eat, but if I'm not here, you can't eat. So the difference is in the previous discussion when it came to eating the chaylev, he told the son you can't eat it no matter where, whether I'm here or not here. When it came to eating the Svichei Karav, he says, you can eat in my presence, but if not, then you can't eat. That was the difference. Gemara just points out a chiluk of how he gave this the message to his son. So now once we're talking about this concept of Svichei Karav, the aftergrowth of Karav, so Gemara wants to know, where do you find Rabbi Shimon, my Rabbi Shimon, that he is actually Mekel when it comes to Svichei Karav, that you are actually allowed to eat it? So Gemara says, my Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol ha-svichim asurin chutz mi-svichei karav. That all the svichim, all these different aftergrowths, are also to eat after the zman of the beer, whether it's svichei of the teina, the svichei, whatever type of fruit it is. Once the zman beer kicks in, you can't eat these svichim. It's asur. With one exception, svichei karav, you're allowed to. She'en kayot ben b'yer kasadeh. Nothing else exists like this. What does that mean, nothing else exists like this in the vegetables? So take a look at one more line in the Gemara here. The Chachamim Omrim Kol HaSvichim Asrim. They felt all Svichim, even the aftergrowths of Kruvim, are also Asrim. So look at Rashi to explain a little bit what's going on here. Then we'll look at the Gemara further. The Gemara, Rashi says, that Chutz MiSvichei Karav Olin Hayotzin MiKelach HaKruv. It's some leaves that come from the stalk of the Kruv. She'ein Kayotz Ben B'yer Kasadeh, says Rashi. Misharshin hein gdelin, it grows from the roots. Varehein ki'ilan shimosiv anafim al anafim. It's like a tree that branches go upon other branches and small branches grow from that. And they don't grow like the typical svichim grow. The way other svichim grow, if you're planting an apple tree or a fig tree, sometimes some seeds will fall and you have like slow molar like saplings grow here and there. That wasn't your intention, but it's going to happen when you're spreading the seeds. So that's how normal svichim grow. About svichi kuruv, it's not that it's a seed that goes into the ground. You have branches, and the branches spread out further branches. It's not a seed in the ground. As we're about to see, only the seeds, only svichim that come from zera are a problem, but svichim that come from branches, anafim, that are not bechlal, this din of svichim. I don't know the matzis, I'm just explaining what I'm seeing in Rashi. It just seems to me that you have these trees, and small branches come out of the trees itself. That's what the svichi karav are. That's allowed. But svichim that go from the zera, the ground, that is a usr. So the question is, did they say we're lumping together svichi kruvim along with the svichi zera or not? Svichi zera definitely usr, but it was a question whether your goes are also on svichi karav. So the Gemara explains that's the machlokas here. So the Gemara says, but tavayu, both of them, both Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim, go according to Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, Rabbi Akiva says, based on the pasuk, hey lo nizra lo nesav es tvoseinu. This is a pasuk that's found, I think it's in the Tochacha, try to find the pasuk on the side here, it's in the Tochacha and Bechukosai, where it's talking about, v'chisomu ma nocha b'shana shviz. What are we going to eat in the seventh year? Shemitah, what we eat in the seventh year, hein lo nizra v'lo nesav es tvoseinu. We can't plant and we can't gather. What are you going to eat? So Rabbi Akiva darshins, Am Rabbi Akiva, v'chimeachar she'en zorin meich osvim. What does it mean in the pasuk? We can't plant, fine. We can't gather. What's there to gather? If you can't plant, obviously there's nothing to gather. You didn't plant anything all year round. It must be there's certain things that you didn't plant, but God planted. It was planted somehow. What does that mean? Mikan l'svichin she'asurin. Even the svichim that just grow on their own without anyone cultivating the land, that's what svichim are. And they just happen just naturally with the wind blowing seeds all over the place. Who knows how this happens exactly? But either way, that's asur, Rabbi Akiva says. Mikan l'svichim she'en asurin. So that's a din deraisa. You can't have svichim even during Shemitah when the beer shvias happen. Just to be clear again, you could have them during Shemitah year. But the moment that fig is no longer available on the tree, then even the svichim of the Tena aren't permitted. When they're no longer rimonim on the trees, then the svichim rimonim are not allowed. That's a din deraisa. But now the question is, do you extend that to the svichim karav or not? So that's the machlokas, the Gemara says. B'mai kemiflagi, Rabban Savri, Gazrin, svichim karav, atu shar svichim da'amo. We go there, the Chamor goes there, that even svichim karav are aser, midir abanan. Rabbi Shimon Savra, lo gazrin, svichim karav, atu svichim da'amo. They did not make a gzera on the svichim karav. So Rabbi Shimon was matur this. So now going back to the whole story here, the Gemara says, since Rabbi Shimon was mekel, and I, the father, so I saw him eat it himself, so I'm allowed to eat it, bein b'fanav, bein shel b'fanav. But you, my dear son, only in my presence could you eat svichim karav, but when you're not in my presence, you cannot eat svichim karav. Okay. They don't give an answer. They don't give an answer. I just point out there's a difference. So Gemara now says that recording from the end of the Mishnah, of the first Mishnah in the Perek here, about Taholich Mimakom, a person goes from one place to the next place. I think Pini asked this question when he did the Mishnah, but when a person goes from Makom of a Chumrah to, I'll read the whole line here because it's not quoted entirely, the Mishnah says, going back to Daf Nun for just a moment, that, where did that line go? Why can't I find this? Oh, there are a lot of pages here. Okay, it says that a person says, Makom Shinog, and that's what I wanted here. A person goes from a place where the practice was to do malacha to a place where they didn't do malacha er Pesach, or they came from a place where they didn't do malacha er Pesach, but they went to a place where they did do malacha er Pesach. The din was nosin alav chomrei mimakom sheyotz misham, the chomrei makom shalach lisham. You take on the chomers from where you come and the chomers from where you're going to. V'al yishane adam mipnei machlokes. A person should not change from the minog from either place, lest it appear like a machlokes of losisko. So Gemara now wants to understand how to type this mission exactly. Bishma, I understand haholich mimakom sheosin lemakom sheinosin, that you go from a place where they do malacha on Erev Pesach to a place where they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach. Nosin alav chomrei makom shalach lisham. You take on the chumrah to where you're going, which means you shouldn't do malacha, since you're in a city where they don't do malacha. And don't change, and because you're going to create meachokas for the lavid, don't do work. The whole city is doing sitting back, not working Erev Pesach. You should also do the same. Don't do any malacha. Don't create a meachokas. El mimakom she'ein osin, lemakom she'osin. You go from a place where they don't do malacha, and you're visiting an Erev Pesach in a city where they do actually do malacha. Mimakom she'ein osin, lemakom she'osin. Al yishana adam mipnei meachokas. Vinavar, a person shouldn't change, and he should do work. He should do work. Do melacha, right? Start driving the car. This past Shabbos, someone whispered to me, it was mincha time, and we started davening, and people don't usually ask shilas during mincha time, but it was a very urgent shilah. So what was he asking me? There's a person in the shul who is going through the process of geiris. So he's not a Jew right now. And he has to do melacha in order to violate Shabbos, because a goyish Shabbos has chai misa. So he wanted to do melacha. So the guy said, on the way to shul, he ripped off a leaf. But the guy was saying, is that a deraisa? Do you have to violate a deraisa? Because it was really kilkel. Well, he didn't really need a leaf. And back and forth. So we told him to go ahead and do a melacha. We suggested he should maybe water the grass or something like that. Do a real melacha deraisa. So the guy, who normally doesn't do melacha at Erev Pesach, he comes to see where they do melacha. He said, oh, go turn on the lights, go drive a car, just do some type of melacha, do something here. So Gemara says, okay, that's what we tell him to do, go do a melacha. So Gemara says, Bahamas, didn't we say, no sin alav chumri makom shalach l'sham, v'chumri makom sheyatz misham? But if he does melacha where he is now, he's violating the minhag from where he comes from. And from where he comes from, we say, don't do melacha. So the Gemara says, Amar bai aresha. It's going in the resha. When we say al yishani, don't change, we mean when you go from a place that does melacha to a place that does not do melacha, don't do melacha, because you don't want to create a machlokas where you are. But when it comes to going to a place where they do melacha, you taka should actually do melacha and do melacha, because that's not going to create, the whole driving forces don't create any machlokas. So the Gemara then says, Rav Amar liyom ha-sefer, really it's going on the sefer. What it means is, yeah, even though you go to a place, you still shouldn't do any work. I'm in a place that does do work. Everybody's busy driving around, and I'm sitting back in my house, not driving around. Isn't that going to create machlok? Because everyone's working except for me. And Gemara says, no, not true. He says, v'hachi kamar, ein bezu mipnei shinu machlokas. Just because I'm not driving, that's not going to generate a machlokas. Why not? My commerce, what's a person going to say? Haroa omer melacha asura. Person can say, it's also to do melacha? No. Meimer amri, kama batlana havi bashuka. How many people are not doing any work? Many people are out of a job. So Reuven's not doing melacha, not because it's an isser melacha, because he has no jobs to do. That's it. He's out of work. He finished his job for the day. And therefore, a person should take on both chumras from where he comes and where he goes, but make sure what you do has some explanation where it's not going to generate any form of a machloka. So let's recap really quickly. We start off by saying that there was a city that was machmir incorrectly to be mafresh challah from rice, and the response was that if most of the food that you have there is rice, they should continue to separate challah, so they shouldn't forget the concept of challah, but if most of the food that they have is actually the five minei dagon, then they dafka should not separate rice. We should have a zar eat in front of them, lest they take from the ptur and the chiv, and the chiv al ptur. Then we discuss the general concept of Dvarim Hamutarim V'Acherim Nogin Ben Isser. Yata Rasha La'atirim Bifneim. You can't be Matir or Davar Isser in front of people. We had three examples of cities of this, of Akko, Biri, and of Kavul, about two brothers in the same bath, and about wearing particular shoes, and then Safsali Nachim on Shabbos. And we discussed how these, they were not Machmir, because they had the same Medin of Kusim. We couldn't be Mekel in front of them, since they didn't really know much. And then the discussion about eating the Chalev, different parts of Bavel versus Eretz Yisrael, who's Kafif to who. And then the Maisa that even though the father was able to eat Bein Mifanav, Bein Mishlofanav, because he saw Rabbi Yochanan himself eat the Chalev, the son couldn't have the same Kulas. And then a similar discussion, but slightly different, when it came to Svichei Karev, that Rabbi Shimon says one would be allowed to. So the Talmud could eat Bein Mifanav, Bein Mishlofanav, but the son could only eat Bifnei the father, but not Shalom Bifnei father. And then we had the Brisa of Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim. Machlok is whether or not everyone agrees Svichim or Asr during Shemitah because Hein Lo Nizra Lo Nesaf. The question was, would we extend that Svichim to Svichei Karev? Because Svichei Karev was different. So Chachamim felt you were extending the Gezerah to that as well. And according to Rabbi Shimon, they didn't extend the Gezerah, and Svichei Karev were actually Mutter. And finally, the discussion about the place from where a person goes, HaHolich Mimakom She'osim, Lamakom She'ein Osim, about not being Lo Yishana Mipnei HaMachlokas. Okay.